type of blessings as well. Revelation chapter 1. Father, again, we pray that you would just draw our attention to yourself, have your way, speak to us, help us to not just be hearers, help us to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ, that simply means the revealing of Jesus the Messiah. I've said this before, I'll say it again, not just in Revelation, but all through Scripture, because ultimately all Scripture points to Jesus somehow. So whenever you read any, maybe a verse or text of Scripture, I hope you'll come to it with this mentality and heart. What can I learn of Jesus? You say, but the Old Testament, he wasn't born. I know, but there's still a picture there of Jesus somehow. So what can I learn of Jesus and his will for my life? That's what we can take away from any scripture. What can I learn about Jesus and his will for my life? I just saw the preschoolers going by. they were joining the elementary there, I guess, a little time of worship. Yeah, thank God for that blessing of the children. Verse 3 says this, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it." Keep means to be obedient or to do. So it's not just hearing it, it's seeing what it says, understanding and putting it into practice, living it out. Then verse 5, that Jesus Christ, he's called here in this verse, the faithful witness, firstborn from the dead, and ruler over the kings of the earth. He is the ultimate authority. He is the sovereign. And to him, thank God, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, the life's blood, the sinless life's blood that Jesus poured out on the cross for us at Calvary, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God he did it out of his love for us. Verse 6, he's made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7, behold, he has come in with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Revelation reveals Jesus in these images. We might think of word pictures, and that's important, I believe, for a couple realms. One is, it's easier sometimes to remember pictures in our mind than words. We can remember images, and so the Lord was revealing truth about himself in these pictures, and even to this day, parts of the world are either illiterate or they prefer oral learning and hearing. So it's when we can hear and we have those images in our mind, it can help us to remember, and it gives us the bigger picture without filling in every detail. Do we know every single little detail about the Lord's return and so forth, of the timing? No, we don't. But we know enough to do his will, and we know enough to be ready at all times for his coming. And a couple of themes throughout the book of Revelation are that Jesus conquered and he reigns. He rules, and until the time that he returns to fully inaugurate God's kingdom on this earth, God's reign on earth, we will experience spiritual conflicts and battles, but we can have victory through him. We overcome through Jesus. The first message I shared in this series was called Love First, because Jesus addressed seven churches, local churches right there in the area of what we call Asia Minor today. And the very first church, he said, you're doing a lot of good works. You've got this going your way. You do this, you do that. But I have one thing against you. You don't love me or love each other like you once did. And so the love first is a priority. Then the second message, He revealed to two churches how they had compromised with idolatry and immorality. Idolatry is so subtle. Do you know that stubbornness is a form of idolatry, the Bible says? It says that even greed and covetousness is idolatry. So if we allow anything or anyone to take the throne of our heart, even though maybe that thing is not evil in itself, it becomes an idol to us. And then immorality. So that message was called Keep Yourself Pure. And last week, I shared a message because Jesus spoke to a complacent church. One church, he said, you've got a name that you're alive, but you're dead, and you're that close to losing a little bit of life that you have. He called them to wake up and to be zealous or be committed. So love first, keep yourself pure, be committed. And then these final two churches that we'll look at today, these are the only two churches out of seven that Jesus gave no word of rebuke. There was no word of correction. And as I was thinking about this and preparing, I'm like, what can I learn from these two churches that I can apply to my life? If Jesus has no word of correction for them, I want to apply what they have. And here, I'll just give it to you. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, that's really kind of the theme word here that we'll use today. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus says, because you have kept my command to persevere. That's the message today, is simply one word, persevere. 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 Love first. Keep yourself pure. Be committed. Persevere. Sometimes this word is translated patience. In fact, I'll give you a reference if you want to just write it down. Back in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says this, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. It's the same word. It actually means to just kind of stay under. It means to remain. It's perseverance. Sometimes it's translated patient endurance. So persevere means to just stay, just don't quit, keep going, don't give up. I like how it's worded in one translation here. It says this in the New International Reader's Version, that same Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Jesus says, you have kept my command, notice this, to remain strong in the faith. I love how that's worded. To remain strong in the faith. That's the only way we can really be strong spiritually, is with faith in God. Be strong in faith. Be strong in grace no matter what happens. Isn't that the key? That regardless of what happens, regardless of what we experience, regardless of what we feel, we remain strong in the faith in Jesus. We persevere. We just keep on. We endure. Persevere. Would you look at someone socially distant from you and tell them, persevere. 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 It, again, different forms of the same word, but it all means persevere. Let me ask you to go back to chapter 2. Let's look at these two churches. One of them in chapter 2, one in chapter 3. Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Before I read these verses, I want to ask you this, if we can just be honest today. May I ask it this way? Have you ever felt like just quitting? Have you ever felt like just giving up? And when I say that, I'm not asking you, are you tempted to just deny God and not be a Christian? I'm asking, have you ever felt, some of you, if you're watching, listening, have you ever just been tempted to just quit and really going after God, seeking God and doing His will? Can we be honest enough today to just raise our hand? Is there anyone here who would say, I've felt like that before. Sometimes I've been tempted. Okay, so only two of us. That's y'all are so spiritual. Okay, nice. All right. Thank you. Many of us can relate. And so I will put this out. I'd like to get your input on it. What tempts you to quit? What tempts you? I'm not saying you're quitting. I'm just saying, what makes you feel like it sometime? What makes you feel like just giving up and saying, you know what, I'm just tired. I'm just be me and Jesus. Yes. Okay, life in general. Can anyone relate to what he's saying? All right, thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, and I'm going to repeat so people can hear. When something, maybe we're hoping a situation is going to go a certain way and it doesn't turn out the way we want, it can be tempting to just say, what's the use? All right, yes. Okay, so expectations, or we have certain expectations and the expectations aren't met, it can be tempting to just, I'm just going to just be me and Jesus. Anyone else? Yes, Clarence. Worldly situations, all right? Like just something going on that wears on you sometimes, doesn't it? Do you ever just feel just discouraged or feel like you're disheartened and it's hard to go on in that condition, isn't it? Not saying we can't, but you see why faith is so important? We've got to, it's being strong in the faith. It's like persevering even when we don't feel like it. Persevering maybe when the prayer wasn't answered the way we wanted it to be. Persevering even when people are coming against us, maybe charging us incorrectly or falsely. Those things can all be tempting to, but how do we keep going? How do we persevere? What does it take? Revelation, I want to answer that as we go through the message here. Please look at these verses, Revelation 2, 8 and 9. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "And to the angel of the messenger of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, I know your tribulation, and I know your poverty." But notice what Jesus said about them. Remember, Jesus knows our heart. He knows our true spiritual state and our condition. And he says, "I know that you're going through a hard time. You have some physical lack, but you're really rich." It's the exact opposite of what he said to that lukewarm, Laodicean, complacent church who said, "Oh, we got everything we need." And the Lord said, "You don't realize your spiritual lack and condition." And he says, "But you are really rich." And he goes on, he says, "I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." Those are strong words. Jesus said, they think or they say that they're indwelt by God, but they're not indwelt by God. They're a synagogue of Satan. He's saying here, you recognize some say they're religious, but they're not righteous. They're not right with God. Then verse 10, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison." And he says, "You will have tribulation, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. In the Bible, 10 sometimes associated with times of testing, like in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel said, "Test your servant for 10 days. Let us eat vegetables and drink water, and then you check us out and see what we look like and what our health is like after 10 days. Jesus says, "Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life." One of the realities that the church has had to deal with for 2,000 years, and thank God we've been blessed, is we have not had to face persecution that many around the world and in history have. And I'm not saying I want it. Honestly, I'm coming to the place where maybe we need, I'm saying we, as the people of God, it could actually help us if persecution comes. Because persecution can have a purifying effect. See, persecution can help us focus on God and His will for our lives more than just what's everywhere else. Persecution can help us value and pursue what is spiritual and eternal more than what is temporary and passing. So persecution, like that fire going through it, can purify a precious metal. Persecution can have a purifying effect. In fact, when we read in the scripture in the very early days of the church, God granted believers favor initially right there in Jerusalem, but eventually it turned and people started persecuting the church and they had to flee to get away from, other than the apostles and leaders right there in Jerusalem, the believers had to leave their homes and leave their area because they were under such persecution. But do you know what happened? God used it because they were following Jesus in Jerusalem. They didn't leave him in Jerusalem. They were indwelt by the Spirit of the Lord, and they went everywhere they went as followers of Jesus, and they took the gospel with them, and instead of the church being shut down, the church grew and spread when it was persecuted. The church seems to grow more when it's persecuted than it does when it's prosperous financially. So, again, I'm not saying I want it. I've been reading a little bit. I did a little study in here just of, like, when Peter wrote and Paul wrote the words of the New Testament, they were under leaders like Nero. One, a historian, this is not in the Bible, a historian wrote this. His name was Tacitus, and he wrote in his writings, "In their very death," speaking of Christians, "they were made the subjects of sport. They were covered with the hides of wild beasts and worried to death by dogs or nailed to crosses or set to fire. to serve as lights in the evening. Nero, because there was a rumor that he had set Rome on fire, he basically turned it around and made Christians the scapegoat, and persecution turned on them. And Peter, with him as a leader, said, we're to remember them in prayer. Paul said that. We're to honor them. We can honor someone and pray for them without agreeing with them. Certainly, they didn't agree with the persecution of Christians, but isn't that something that they had to deal with? They had to face those kind of threats and live that way. And then one of the ministries we support is called the Voice of the Martyrs. And if you're, for those of you who are here, if you can see it, got an update here recently from India of what's going on here. This is a man who's part of a more like a radical Hindu group. And I was reading some of this testimonies here. Here's a picture of a man. His name is, if I pronounce it correctly, K-A-N-D-E, Kandi maybe. He was abducted by an armed mob, and he told his wife, this is what he said to his wife, never give up your faith, even if I'm killed, and his body was found the next day. Here's a picture of a 16-year-old young man. His name is Samaru. He was 16, and he was killed by extremists for leading a Christian meeting, leading Christian meetings in India. That's today. That's not 2,000 years ago. That's going on now. And again, I'm not saying, Lord knows, I don't want persecution, but I will say this, if it comes, Lord, may it have a purifying effect, and may it help us to value what you value and to be more like you. If it comes, I'm just going to say, Lord, help me to just persevere by your grace. Persevere. And he says, if you remain faithful, you'll receive the crown of life. And now the crown of life, we don't have to be martyred, thankfully, to receive the crown of life. But I want to show you how we can. If you just stay right here in Revelation, let me read it to you from James chapter 1, verse 12. We put it on the screen. James chapter 1, verse 12. I'll read it in the NIV. It says it like this. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life. Notice that the Lord has promised those who love him. One translation says, keep on loving him. So we can receive the crown of life simply for loving Jesus and persevering under trial. Love has God's love. The Bible says love endures all things. Love, God's love has a persevering effect, has an enduring effect. So it's just like Jesus, he persevered out of love for us, and that's how will motivate us to persevere as well. Would you say persevere? Would you tell yourself to persevere? Persevere with Jesus. And then notice the promise here. He says this in verse 11. He who has an ear, I'm sorry, let me go back to verse 10. Verse 10. It says, be faithful unto death, I'll give you the crown of life. That's right at the very end of that verse. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. What is the second death? Let me read it to you from Revelation chapter 20, and we'll allow the Bible to tell us what it is. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. John says, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades, or the realm of the dead, delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to their works. So we will all face a judgment for how we lived in this life. Believers will face a judgment for how we lived and be rewarded. Those who do not know the Lord and reject Jesus will face a judgment and will be punished according to how they lived as well, based on the light of what they have and what they walked in. And then the Bible says in verse 15, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Verse 14, I'm sorry, death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. We can avoid the second death. We're going to die physically in time outside of the Lord's return, but no one has to die spiritually. You don't have to experience that second death. Only those who reject Jesus and whose names are not written in the book of life. But everyone who simply is willing to turn, drawn by God's Spirit, to turn from unbelief, turn from our way, and put faith and trust in Jesus as Lord. I don't care how young or old, how rich or poor, what part of the earth, what background, culture, language, it does not matter. Everyone who believes in Jesus as Lord is forgiven. Your name is in the book of life, and you do not have to experience the second death. And that hope is available to everyone. Thank God. Persevere with Jesus. Persevere with Jesus. So how did he persevere? Again, let me give you a couple of verses because I was thinking about, just think of what everything Jesus endured, everything he went through. How in the world did he stay faithful? How did he persevere until he fulfilled his God-ordained purpose? Again, I'll say it like this. God's love and God's promises. If you want to write that down, I'll show you some verses. God's love and God's promises. In John 13, 1, the Bible simply says, after the Lord, what we say, the Last Supper, and Jesus got up to wash his disciples' feet, the Bible says, here's what it says about Jesus. He loved them until the end. He just kept on loving them. That's what caused him to persevere. And then we open with these verses in Hebrews 12. If you want to stay in Revelation, I'll read them to you. But Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 3. Because Jesus is not only our example of perseverance, he's our source of perseverance. If we know him, the Spirit of the Lord is within us. He's not a quitter. He will inspire us. He will help us to persevere. But that's where we just have to stay close to him. It says this, Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, please remember that phrase, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with perseverance. Let us run with endurance. Let us run with patience, the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. That's the key. We've got to keep putting our focus back on Jesus. So many distractions. Keep our attention. Keep our focus on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him persevered. He endured the cross. See, he knew there was a blessing coming for doing his Father's will. Same thing with us. We overcome through him. There's always a blessing waiting for us on the other side of our obedience. But we have to go through some things sometimes to get to that blessing. And that's where perseverance comes in. So as perseverance, God's love in me, God's love for me, God's love through me, but it's also knowing I've got a good reward coming and it's going to be worth it for me to stick it out and just remain faithful to Jesus. Persevere. He goes on and let me finish that section there. He says in verse 2 again, reading the rest of it, despising the shame, and now he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, think about him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become discouraged and weary in your souls. See, isn't it tempting to quit when we get discouraged? Can we just be honest? I'm not bashing anyone here, but I grew up, both my parents smoked, and so we grew up in cigarette smoke, all right? I enjoyed sports and activity, and when we were in school, I could run, I wasn't the fastest athlete in the school, but I could run pretty decent, like the little 50-yard dash, and we used to have to do twice a year, do the little physical testing in school, and one was called the 600-yard run. I was pitiful. I was pitiful. You got the blue ribbon, all right? When we were in 10th grade, they taught us, they were teaching us CPR, and we had these little dummy, they're called dummies, you know what I'm saying, like a mannequin, but they had a chart. It was a gauge on the inside, so you wouldn't crush their chest or whatever if you did a compression. It would actually, there would be a chart, it would print off and show you if you were getting it at a good range. And the same thing, you blow into the mouth of this mannequin, and it would measure the lung capacity to make sure you. And when I tried to blow the my air into the mannequin, her name was Annie. I tried to breathe into Annie. I couldn't get it to register on the meter. And the lady said, "Do you smoke?" I was like, "No, I don't smoke. You don't charge me." But I guess I was in a sense. And so I never was long distance. But, over time, I built up a little perseverance, I guess. And I was going to be a police officer here. in the city some years ago. And so I went through all the, one of the first things you have to do is a psychological test, and you have to do a physical endurance test. So I knew what that part was. You had to run around the track 6 times here at Hopewell. That was 1.5 miles, and you had to do it in a certain time. And so I remember going up there. I remember one day, it might have been the very day before. It was a Saturday morning we tested, and I remember going up there running, and I was by myself. I just said, I'm not going to make it. I just said, forget it. But I end up showing up on Saturday morning, and sure enough, I guess with some others out there, it helped. But I remember this one, it was a lady, and we had, you know, basically everyone had made it through, and she was struggling, and she was, you know, she was really struggling. But some of the, there were a couple officers who were already officers, they went over to her, and they started running with her, saying, come on, come on, you can do it, come on, you're going to make it. And they encouraged her and ran her through to be able to make the time where she could be hired as a police officer. I eventually wasn't hired because I didn't pass the eye exam after all that. But when I was thinking about this, it says we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses that other believers, those who've gone before, but fellowship right now, I hope you see, isn't it so important that since Jesus is the source of our perseverance, don't you see why we have to stay in close fellowship with Him? But we need to stay in close fellowship with other godly growing believers too, with other people of faith, because sometimes we need that encouraging word to just somebody beside us to say, come on, it's worth it. Come on, all you got to do is just keep focusing on Jesus. Hey, look, a blessing is coming. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Come on, He's with us. We're going to see this thing through. Our God is greater than all adversaries. Persevere, persevere. Would you turn over to chapter 3? I'll close with this last church here that we'll focus on, Revelation chapter 3. Before I read these verses, we'll put a few on the screen just for sake of time. I won't take the time to do it, but if you want to write them down, because I would ask the question, how do we build perseverance? I know what to do physically. You know, I start maybe running a little bit, walking a little bit, trying to get my time down, building up, doing a little, maybe jog a little bit, walk a little bit until I get my lung capacity up, maybe ride the bike a little bit. But how do we build spiritual perseverance and endurance? The Bible says this. This is why we need it in Hebrews 10:36. Hebrews 10:36 says this. For you have need of endurance. Same word, perseverance. You have need of endurance or perseverance. Why? So that after you've done the will of God, notice it's after. Would you say after? After you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We have to stay with God's will until we reach that place of promise. Most of God's promises are conditional and they're not instant. It's like we have to do His will and then we receive the promise, and that's why He says we need perseverance. So how do we build it? Let me give you these two references, and I'll close with this last church in Revelation. I call them the three T's, all right? Letter T, all right? Here's the first one. We'll put on the screen Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. We do? Knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. So the first T is tribulation. So tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces approved character, and character produces hope. And hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You say, Brother Rocky, I don't want to go through tribulation. I don't either, but we're in this world and we're going to have it. That's the bottom line. Now here is the I believe here is the game changer right here. We're going to have tribulation. Jesus said so in this life. He said, you will have tribulation. The issue is, what will I do with it? Will I allow that tribulation to just turn me away from the Lord, make me feel like quitting? Will I just give in? Or will I use that tribulation? Will I use every battle, every test, every temptation to draw me closer to the Lord, to help me grow closer to Him and grow more like Him? If we will use the tribulation and the temptations that way, We can come out of it better than when we go in. It's how we grow. But that's a choice we make. We can say, you know what, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Or we can say, I'm going to turn to God. I'm going to get closer to Him. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to do what it takes to get my focus on Him. And I'm just going to stay with Him and allow Him to work His grace in me to help me come through this time more like Jesus. That's what He wants. Persevere. Persevere. We need to persevere till we receive. So let tribulation have its work. And then one more in James chapter 1. I'll read them to you. James 1 verses 3 and 4. So the first T is tribulation. The second and third T are right here. James 1, 3 and 4. He says, let me read verse, I'll start verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various what? Trials. That's, so here's tribulation, here's trial, and then the third, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, again, same word, perseverance, endurance, patience. But let patience, let perseverance have its perfect or complete work, that you may be perfect and complete. That means mature and whole, lacking nothing. So tribulation produces perseverance. Trials produce perseverance. The testing of our faith, those are the three T's, tribulation, trial, testing. But again, they will not produce perseverance if we don't handle it the right way. We have to allow it. We don't have to, but we can choose to let it bring us closer to Jesus, to grow closer to Him, and to grow more like Him. Persevere. Would you tell someone next to you, persevere? Revelation chapter 3, here's the last one. The Bible says this, Revelation chapter 3, and beginning in verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says He who is holy, He who is true, He who has the key of David, He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Jesus has the key of authority. He has the authority to grant access to the kingdom of God. And not just the kingdom of God, but in life. You know what I've found? That sometimes closed doors are just as much an answer to prayer and God's will as open doors. He opens and no one shuts, shuts and no one opens. Verse 8, I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door. God will open up. He can open doors of ministry opportunity. He can open doors of witness to other people. He is the one who opens doors. There's a verse, if you want to write it down, in 1 Corinthians 16:9, the Apostle Paul, he's writing here, and he says that a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. I remember being on a mission trip to New York City, in New York City one year, and we were talking about something, I don't think it was that verse, but just about how God blesses and how the devil tries to, you know, come in. And he says, there's an open door for me. There are many adversaries, but brothers and sisters, our God is greater than all adversaries. So we can persevere. But he used to say, I don't remember his name, but he would say, when God blesses, the devil messes. That was a little phrase. When God blesses, the devil messes. So we've got to expect it, but we don't have to quit. We don't have to give up. We can keep going. We can persevere. And then he goes on in that same verse, Revelation 3:8, and he says, I've set before you an open door. No one can shut it, for you have a little strength. That blesses me. Isn't it? You don't have to have the greatest amount of spiritual strength, but if you have a little strength, as long as your strength is in the Lord, and you've kept my word, that's so important. As I was preparing for this, I was even writing it for myself. Are we keeping God's word? Not just in our obedience. Let me ask you this. Are you keeping God's word in your heart? Are you keeping God's word in your thoughts? Are you keeping God's word in your mouth? Because meditation is to meditate. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may learn to do according to all that's written in it. So what is your confession? Keeping God's word in our mouth and, of course, obedience. Then he says, and you have not denied my name. Indeed, I'll make those of the synagogue of Satan, see how he says that again, religious but not righteous, who say they're Jews that are not, but lie. I'll make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I'll keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. We are not kept from tribulation. Jesus said you'll have it, but he speaks about a time, a day coming. Revelation records it later on in the other chapters, when God's wrath will be poured out on those who reject his Son and his offer of forgiveness and salvation. The church will face tribulation, but the church will never be the object of his wrath. The true church of Jesus, every follower of Jesus, will never be the object of the wrath of God, because Jesus bore that for us on the cross. Now, however that may work out in all the details of the second coming, the Lord knows. But I know that he will not turn his wrath on us. We are brought into his favor because of Jesus and the cross. He goes on, he says this in verse 12. He who overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I'll write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven, from my God, and I'll write on him my new name. Sometimes cities back in that day would honor a person by setting up a pillar in their name. The Lord is saying, you're going to overcome through me, and I'm going to honor you with a place of eternity in my Father's kingdom. And right now, see, we belong to Jesus. We're marked by him. That's why we can persevere. We are citizens of heaven. We live in this earth, but we're citizens of God's kingdom, and we represent Jesus to others around us. It's so important for us to be faithful now. Persevere, persevere. I'll close with this. The worship team can come back. We need I've said it before, I'll try to say it again. We need a strong enough why. What I mean by that is, why are you doing what you do? What's going to help you keep going when it gets rough? We will face opposition. Persevere. We will experience discouragement. Persevere. I believe we will face, to some degree or another, persecution. Persevere. We're going to go through difficulties. Persevere. We're going to encounter obstacles, but just persevere. What's going to keep us going? The same that helped Jesus persevere, God's love in us, for us, and through us, and knowing there's a blessing waiting for us on the other side. Persevere. Please let that get down into your spirit. We're not quitters. We're overcomers through Jesus. Can we stand together as we close in prayer?